Hi, I'm back. I'll be reading something new today. I'll be reading Disney's Family Story Collection, 75 Fables for Living, Loving, and Learning. Forward. Ask a group of children about Dumbo and listen to what they tell you. It wasn't right for the animals to ridicule the tiny elephant with the gigantic ears. The cruel laughter and taunts hurt Dumbo, and he felt sad and all alone. A mouse became his best friend, even though everyone knows that mice and elephants don't usually get along. With the whispered encouragement of his friend, Dumbo learned that his liabilities were his assets. He flapped his huge ears and soared above those who had criticized him. No one had ever seen an elephant fly, but then no one had ever known an elephant like Dumbo. The story reminds us that it is not right to make fun of someone because he is different. Talk to children who have watched Beauty and the Beast, and in their own words, they will tell you that hatred is hideous. Bella's true beauty was not found in her appearance, but in her willingness to offer her life for her father's and in the transforming power of her love for the Beast. At first, she was afraid of the orgy, but she treated him with kindness, and the Beast became less beastly. Bella no longer saw him with her eyes, but with her heart. Her love transformed the Beast and helped us all to see that he always was a handsome prince. Ruth, my preschool daughter knows that it isn't right to hurt others. I hope she learned that lesson from her sister, mother, Emmy. However, she may have picked it up from 101 Dalmatians. Ruth knows it isn't right to hurt those puppies. Just so Crusoe DeVille can have a spotted coat, and perhaps she will come to realize the great power of Aladdin's final selfish wish. His ultimate hope was not for riches, wealth, or fame, but to set the genie free and remove the shackles of oppression that bound his friend. This book affords you and a child you love the opportunity to share simple stories, look at beautiful illustrations, and discover profound truths. As you sit on the couch side by side, or when a small head rests against your chest, as you gently walk in a chair, or when the bedroom lights have dimmed in preparation for good night, open this book, share with a child a short story from the wonderful world of Disney, and together discover that we have a responsibility to love and care for others. Tell them the stories that remind us their life is not measured by what we perceive with our eyes or grasp in our hands, but what we see by faith and treasure in our hearts. After all, these are stories for children of all ages. May the children you love and the child that lives within you enjoy and learn from them. Reverend Michael Catlett, PhD, March 9th, 1998.
Whoa.
From 1 to 101. Okay, let me see. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Okay, I finished that one. From 1 to 100, stories about family. A whale of a tale from Pinocchio. When you love someone, their life can mean more to you than your own. To become a whale boy, all the wooden puppet Pinocchio had to do was be brave, truthful, and unselfish. But he was having trouble living up to any of those ideas. He had already lied to the Blue Fairy, and then he had been weak and selfish by going to Pleasure Island, where we had smoked cigars, played pool, and almost had been turned into a donkey. Ashamed, Pinocchio swam back to the mainland with Jiminy Cricket. Outside Geppetto's workshop, Pinocchio cried, "Father! Father, I'm home." No one answered. Geppetto was gone. And from the look of the dust and cobwebs, he had been gone a while. As Pinocchio and Jimmy sat outside, a dove dropped a piece of paper at their feet. The note said that Geppetto had gone looking for Pinocchio, and happened swallowed by a whale named Monstro. Apparently, Geppetto was still alive inside the whale, which was resting at the bottom of the sea. "I'm going to find my father," Pinocchio declared. "I'm going to the bottom of the sea." On a high cliff, Pinocchio tied a heavy rock to his tail. Jiminy grabbed hold of the rope and plunged into the water with Pinocchio. At the bottom of the sea, Jiminy grabbed a smaller rock to use as a weight. Pinocchio wandered into a school of fish, and before he knew it, he was swept into the whale's belly. Pinocchio saw his father sitting forlornly in his fishing boat. "Father," cried Pinocchio, "I have come to save you." "No, Pinocchio, there's no way out. Monstro only opens his mouth when he's eating. Then everything comes in, nothing goes out." Pinocchio thought hard. "Father, we will build a big fire, and the smoke will make Monstro sneeze." They started a blaze with some of the wood from Geppetto's boat. As the flames grew, Pinocchio and Geppetto hastily built a raft with the remaining wood. The whale shook, then sneezed. The tremendous force sent the little raft hurtling out of Monstro's mouth. The ferocious whale swam beneath the raft and thrust it into the air. Geppetto and Pinocchio tumbled into the sea. Holy Father, cried Pinocchio, I can't make it, son. Save yourself. No, Father, I won't leave you. Pinocchio grabbed Geppetto's sword and dragged him to shore. There was no way he was going to lose sight of his father now. Later, after both Pinocchio and Geppetto were safely at home, the Blue Fairy rewarded Pinocchio by making him into a werewolf. He had proven himself brave, truthful, and unselfish. The next story is Trouble Under the Sea from The Little Mermaid. The reason behind a rule often becomes clear just after you break it. More than anything else, Ariel loved exploring shipwrecks and finding human treasures. But her father, King Triton, had expressly ordered her to stay away from shipwrecks or any place where she would be in danger of being snagged by one of those fish-eating humans. The Little Mermaid knew her father loved her, but she also knew that he just didn't understand human objects were so amazing, and shipwrecks were the only place she could find them. Nothing would happen to her. She was sure of it. One day, Ariel took her friend Flounder to see a new shipwreck she had found. Isn't it fantastic? She said. Yeah, sure, replied Flounder, anxiously looking over his shoulder. It's great. Now, let's get out of here. You're not getting cold fins now, are you? Ariel asked. Who, me? Said Flounder. No way. It's just, it looks damp. And there, I think I may be coming down with something. He coughed loudly, making sure that Ariel heard. All right, said Ariel. You can just stay here and watch for sharks. What? Sharks? Ariel Flounder tried to swim after Ariel threw a porthole, but he got stuck. Ariel, help! Ariel grabbed Flounder's fins and pulled him inside the ship. Soon she spied a shiny silver object. She picked it up and said, have you ever seen anything so wonderful? As they examined the object, Flounder was distracted by a strange sound. What was that? He asked, trembling. Flounder, will you react? Said Ariel, picking up and examining another object. Nothing is going to happen. Flounder heard the strange sound again. He thought he saw a shadow. Looking behind him, he saw a huge shark was gliding toward them. Shark, shark, he cried. Flounder zoomed toward a porthole and got stuck again. As the shark bore down on him, its huge jaws opened wide. Ariel swam up and pushed Flounder through the porthole. Then she followed, swimming as fast as she could. The shark raced after them. In Flounder's haste to get away, he smacked into the ship's mast. Dazed, he sank to the ocean floor. Ariel reached through a metal anchor ring and grabbed her friend. As she backed out of the ring, the shark tried to follow, but it got stuck. The shark thrashed its tail It thrust its tail, frustrated at not being able to catch its prey. Ariel and Flounder swam back to the palace. Ariel thought about how her father had been right. Shipwrecks were dangerous. Stormy night from the old mill. Mothers protect their children, and sometimes miracles protect mothers. In an abandoned windmill, a blue barn swallow accepted a worm from a mate. All day, she had been sitting on her nest, keeping her three eggs warm together. She and her mate had built the nest in a clog hole of an old millstone. The blue barn swallows were not the only animals who had made the mill their home. Bright-eyed bats clustered in the rafters. A plump old owl perched on a wooden beam. Often the barn hallows watched the owl flutter his feathers and swivel his head from left to right to left. On this night, the barn swallow watched the bats unfold their wings and dart toward a hole in the side of the mill. For a moment, moonlight illuminated the ragged shapes. Then the moon disappeared behind thick clouds and the bats burst into darkness. Her mate followed them into the night to look for more food. Inside the mill, it was quiet except for the soft, occasional hooting of the owl. The barn swallow shifted on a nest. As she blinked in the darkness, she felt a cold wind blow through the chinks in the walls. Then the wind shook the mill and howled. Rain started to fall. The drops fell one at a time, then pounded the roof in a steady rhythm. Water seeped in through holes in the roof, but did not drip onto the nest. The wind shrieked loudly. Suddenly, the mother swallow saw the huge mill wheel coming toward her. The wind had snapped the rope that held the mill wheel, and the arms of the old mill had begun to move, turning the wheel inside with them. In fright, the swallow darted away from her nest. Then she flew back and sheltered the eggs with her wings. The big, heavy wheel rolled over her nest, but the swallow and her eggs escaped being crushed. The clog that matched the hole containing her nest was broken. All through the night, the swallow remained on her nest to protect her eggs. When the storm died down, the windmill ceased to turn, and the sun glowed through the many chinks in the old abandoned mill. She was glad to see her mate return. He brought food for the newly hatched children. Cruella's wicked puppy plan from 101 Dalmatians. Nothing is stronger than a parent's love. It was a cold, dark night. The snow swirled and the wind blew. But Pongo and P-E-R-D-I-T-E raced across the countryside with only one thought on their minds. They had to save their puppies, who were so devilled, had stolen the puppies, and many more besides. She had hidden them in an old house far from London. She planned to make Dalmatian coats out of them. With a ferocious growl, Pongo leaped into the house where the puppies were kept. Okay, P-E-R-D-I-T-A showed the 99 puppies how to escape, while Pongo bravely snapped and jumped at Corella's dim-witted henchmen. Once the puppies were safely outside, Pongo and P-E-R-D-I-T let them away from the Deville house. The snow was deep, making it hard for the group to go very fast. Pongo and P-E-R-D-I-T-E knew the gorilla would be after them. To make sure they didn't leave paw prints in the snow, Pongo and P-E-R-D-I-T-E had the puppies follow them on a frozen stream. Soon, the headlights from gorillas car shone in the darkness. The Dalmatian family had to hide under a bridge. That was a close one, Porty, Pongo said. I am CC cold, Lucky said, shivering. And I'm hungry, Wally. Pongo and P-E-R-D-I-T-A brought the puppies to a barn, where they all rested for the night. The cows had never seen so many dogs in one place. They happily shared their milk with the puppies. In the morning, the dogs were on their way again. Gorilla was still looking for them, so they hid in an old blacksmith shop. Soon, the playful puppies were whomping around in the ashes. That gives me an idea, Pongo cried. Come on, everybody, roll in the soup. I want all of you good and dirty. Shortly after, 101 black dogs nervously marched across the street, right under Corilla's nose. The plan had worked. The dogs were able to board a truck bound for London and were soon on their way home. Roger and Anita were very surprised when they heard Pongo barking at the door. Pongo, oh boy, is it really you? Roger cried when they went in. The house was quickly filled with happy, dirty, playful puppies. But, Roger, what will we do with them all? Anita asked. We will keep them, Roger cried. Families stick together. Home, sweet home, and then. Home, sweet home. From Peter Pan, there's no better way to end the day than with a kiss from Mom or Dad. The darling children had heard many wonderful stories about Peter Pan, but they never dreamed they would ever really meet him. So when Peter Pan flew into the nursery one night, they were delighted. Come with me to Neverland, Peter told Wendy, John, and Michael, and so they did. flying through the night sky with him and his pixie friend Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell. Neverland was filled with all sorts of interesting people. The Lost Boys were Peter Pan's friends, and they were very excited that he had brought some new children to play with them. This is Wendy, Peter Pan explained, and I have brought her here to be your mother. Wendy shook her head. I can't be their mother, she explained. I still need my own mother too much. None of the Lost Boys had mothers of their own anymore. What's a mother? One of the Lost Boys asked Wendy. Wendy felt very sorry for them. She a wonderful person who loves you very much, Wendy told them. Peter Pan found the Lost Boys seemed more interested in mothers than in playing pirates. Wendy went on, a mother tells you wonderful stories and kisses you goodnight at the end of the day. Are you our mother, Michael asked Wendy. Of course not, Wendy said, I'm your sister. Don't you remember our real mother? John picked up his hat. I remember her, Wendy, he cried. And I propose we go home to her at once. Wendy, John, and Michael said goodbye to Peter Pan and his friends. Neverland grew smaller and smaller as they flew through the sky toward home, where their own mother was just getting ready to kiss them all good night. Okay, almost done. King Triton's gift from the Little Mermaid. A loving father cannot help but forgive. King Triton was exuberant. Together he and Eric had defeated the wicked sea witch Ursula and saved the Mer people from her evil schemes. But before he could rejoice, he had to find Ariel. He knew that his daughter would not be happy until she was rejoined with her true love. Triton hadn't approved of Eric or of any humans for that matter. He had seen too many sea creatures snagged by the cruel fish heaters hooks. But now he realized that Eric was different. Eric had risked his own life to save Ariel, and for that Triton would always be grateful. Sebastian and Flounder led the Sea King to the shore where Ariel was sitting on a rock. She was moonfully watching Eric as he lay unconscious on the sand. Triton turned to Sebastian. She really does love him, doesn't she? Sebastian agreed. Well then, I guess there's just one problem left, mused the king. What's that, your majesty? How much I am going to miss her. Sebastian's jaw fell open. With a sigh, Triton raised his trident and sent a beam of magical light toward Ariel. As Ariel looked down to see what was happening, she saw her fish tail being transformed into legs, human legs, like she had always dreamed so looked up and beamed at her father, Eric began to stir when he saw Ariel walking toward him. Out of the ocean, his face lit up. At last, they were free, and they belonged to each other. King Triton smiled sadly. He knew that he would not be able to see his remarkable daughter every day, as he had in the past. But he was warmed by the knowledge that she would have a happy future with a man who loved her as much as he did. One more to go after this, then I'm done. A foolish in flames from Bambi. Your family is your most precious possession. A careless hunter had forgotten to put out his campfire. And now the whole forest was ablaze. Bambi and his father tried to make their way through the burning trees. But as the wind changed direction, so did the fire. Bambi's father used all his experience with forest fires to find a path through the blazing woods. As Bambi ran for his life, he felt stronger knowing that his wise father was by his side. They ran through a stream, hoping the water would protect them from the flames, but the trees along the banks were ablaze too. At last, Bambi and his father came to a waterfall. The trees behind them were burning, trapped. They had only one choice, to jump. They landed with a great splash. Exhausted, they swam slowly to an island in the middle of the river. Nearby, Pauline stood at the water's edge, looking up at the hill. She fearfully watched her forest burn. She too was weakened by fatigue, but she could not rest until she knew Bambi was safe. As she listened and watched, she heard splashing. Two stags were walking toward her through the shallow water. As they emerged from the smoky haze, she recognized them. "Bambi," she cried, though he was very tired and sore. Bambi dashed through the water toward Feline's voice. He climbed up on the rock beside her. She was alive. The deer stood close together and watched the forest burn. With heavy hearts, they realized that many animals would now lose their homes. They were grateful, though, to be safe and to at least have each other. Okay. A new home for Todd from the Fox and the Hound. Two lonely souls can make one happy family. From a nest in the old oak tree, a wise owl called Big Mama witnessed the whole sad event. She was just settling down for bed when a terrified mother fox burst out of the woods. The fox was carrying a newborn kit in her mouth. She quickly hid her baby in the tall grass by a fence and then tore across the meadow, clearly running for life. She was followed closely by a pack of baying hounds. Moments later, Big Mama heard rifle shots. She knew that the baby fox was now alone in the world. Big Mama flew down to the baby. "You poor little fella," she crooned, stroking his fur. He was shivering. "You are gonna need some caring for the baby fox," snuggled against Big Mama's soft chest. "Oh no, not me, darling," Big Mama laughed. But don't you move. Big Mama's gonna be right back." She flew off in search of her friends Boomer and Dinky. She found them in a nearby tree where they were trying to root a stubborn caterpillar from his hole. "Boomer," Big Mama called to the woodpecker, "stop the pecking and listen. I need you and Dinky to help me." She told them about the little fox and his mother. "Gosh," said Boomer, "who will take care of him?" Dinky the sparrow fluffed his feathers. "Hey, I got an idea," he exclaimed. "The widow treed is all alone. She'd probably be happy too to take care of him, and I will tell ya how we will arrange it." A few minutes later, the plan was set. Boomer tapped on the door of Widow Tweed's farmhouse. Yes, the Widow Tweed called, opening the door and looking around, but there was no one to be seen. Just as she was about to close the door, Big Mama and Dinky flew down and plucked her pink underwear from the clothesline. "My word," the Widow Tree cried. "You come back here." She went out of the house after the birds. They dropped her bloomers right near the fence. As the Widow Tree picked up her underwear, she was shocked to find a fury little animal huddled in the grass. "Why, it's a baby fox," she whispered. She bent down, and the teeny creature uncoiled itself and toddled over to her. Tears came to the Widow Tree's eyes. "You are such a little toddler," she said, chuckling. "I think I will call you Todd." With that, she wrapped him gently in her apron and carried him inside. Okay, that's all. Bye-bye.